This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokhmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Very excited about this next guest on our First Advantage Hotline, head coach for the Colorado State Rams, Jim Mora. They just finished up their spring spotlight over the weekend, have a couple of practices to go before they conclude spring football. Coach, it's an honor to have you on the program. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Well, it is my pleasure, my honor, and I'm excited to be on with you.
Hey, Coach, I have to apologize for something, okay?
Well, what's that?
At your introductory press conference, I of course, I'm the guy that knows your old pal Hugh Millen, and I brought up mountain hiking, and you are a mountain climber, and that has been eating at me for months now, and I finally get to clear the air here. Forgive me, I misspoke. I should have brought up mountain climbing instead of mountain hiking.
No, I mean, I'm a hiker. I've climbed some mountains, but I love to hike. I love the outdoors. I mean, how fortunate am I to be here in Fort Collins? You can get to all the great, great peaks in Colorado very easily. And look at them. I mean, I wake up every morning, I look at Long's Peak. I mean, it's like epic for me. So don't worry about it.
I had to bring it up. I had to clear the air because I know you're active, and I know this part of the area, you're just you're pumped about being here in Northern Colorado, Coach. But, man, I know you're pumped to get this football team ready to rock and roll as Colorado State entering the Pac-12 next season. There's so much excitement around this program. And, boy, when it was announced that you would be taking over as the head coach, I know the excitement just soared.
Well, I appreciate that. I can tell you this. My wife and I absolutely love Fort Collins. The people here are so great. And this university is really special. And, the alignment between Amy Parsons, our president, and John Weber, our athletic director, and Scott Sidwell, our deputy athletic director, who's just so integral in the football operations, is really rare in college football. And the goal and the vision, and not only that, but the plan of action to get where we want to go is just really solid, and everyone's committed to it. And I just consider myself lucky to be here.
Jim Mora joining us, Colorado State Rams head coach. Coach, talk to me a little bit about the spring spotlight yesterday. I'm always curious to see how coaches view spring ball. It can be kind of a mix, but for you, I mean, 9,000 new faces, it seems like. What, 67 new players that you're, throughout these last few weeks just getting to know more and more. That right there is the process.
Yeah, there's a lot of new players. And for me, it was getting to know the players that were here. Certainly, I knew the kids from UConn, and then all the transfers we brought in, and we still got more to add. And then there's some high school kids that, I still haven't met. We brought in 16 early enrollees, but there's some that I haven't met yet. So the process is ongoing. But one thing that's been consistent is their willingness to just really embrace what we're trying to become and the things that we're asking them to do, and we tell them why we're asking them to do them. And when we do, they just go 100% at it. And so that's it's a real challenge, but it's one I embrace. It's one I love. I'm lucky to be here, and I don't forget that. And, there's a responsibility to the people that hired me. There's a responsibility to the people that support Colorado State football and Colorado sport athletics, and really Colorado State as a university in general, because this is an important part of it, our football program, and helping us sustain the success as a university that we want to have. Football plays a part in that. And so we take that very, very seriously, and we work towards that responsibility and fulfilling it every day.
Coach, I keep seeing mentions of this, just random Rams reporters, people that I follow, in kind of connection with all these new players. Talk to me and our listeners about Aggie Talks. What exactly is that?
Well, it's just a series of discussions we have in a team environment, individual environment where we break things down, every week's a little bit different. It's really just team bonding. Mm. It's getting to know each other. It's connecting on a different level than just being out in the huddle or standing next to one another, before a play. Or it's just a way for us to connect and get to know each other and understand each other better, because I think the more you understand about the guy that you're next to in the locker room or on the weight room or out on the field during game day, the harder you'll play for each other. Connection is critical.
Joining us now, Coach, Colorado State Rams head football coach Jim Mora. Coach, obviously we talk about positions, but first things first, everybody wants to discuss the quarterback position. And, what I've seen, at least on paper with a lot of these guys, some with the tape, a lot of guys can move. There's a lot of speed when it comes to that quarterback position. It sounds like there is a pretty tight competition going on right now at that position.
You want competition across the board. You really do. And, that's going to help everybody get better. It's just that constant feeling that I have to compete my very best every single day to stay ahead of the guy that's behind me and catch the guy that's in front of me, and be my very best. And so whether it's quarterback or any other position, it's all about competition, healthy competition. Understand that we're competing against each other, but we're also competing for each other. And, that room in particular has become very competitive. There's two guys, really there's three guys that have taken college snaps in Haas Haney and Kayson Ferrar and Darius Curry. Darius was a little bit slowed down early in camp coming off of the turf toe surgery that he had to have that he suffered late in the year last year. But he's coming on strong. And so between those three guys, it's very competitive. And then we've got two young guys that are doing a really nice job. And so you want that competition. And, you've heard it stated before, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. I don't think that's the case here. I think we've got some guys that can do some really good things out on the football field with the ball in their hands.
Did you see anything, not just even the game, Saturday spring spotlight, but throughout the course of practices, is it still just kind of neck and neck? You mentioned Kayson Ferrar, Haas Haney, also Darius Curry. Did you see much? Is there separation there, or are we ready to go into fall camp and it's going to be tighter than ever?
Tighter than ever, and really, the showcase we had the other day was kind of a mock game for us. We did our pregame work, the routine that we will use before every game. We had a game-like atmosphere. We didn't necessarily get as many reps that we will get in a normal practice. That wasn't what we were after. So it wasn't necessarily as competitive as every other practice we have is. But I expect that it'll be neck and neck until we are forced or we are able to make a decision. And I know this, whichever way we go, and it's a long ways off. Like I said, I don't have to name a starter until the very first play of the season, quite frankly, when someone runs out there. And that's not going to be the case. I mean, that would be silly for us to do. But, we have confidence in all of them. And so whoever the starter is, if they have to take a play to recover from a hit or something, or and they miss a game, or, maybe they're struggling, we've got guys that can take the reins and lead us to victory. Now, I'm not a coach that likes to switch quarterbacks a lot. I don't believe in that. I believe you stick with a guy until it's time not to, and you give them 100% of the support that you got until it's time not to. So you won't see a bunch of quarterbacks in and out of games on and off the field. You'll see us stick with the guy as long as we can once we make that decision.
I'd say, count me in on that. I absolutely love it. When you make that decision with that quarterback, go with them until you ultimately feel like you can't go anymore. Coach, another position group I want to ask you about is I keep hearing so much about the tight end group, and not just the amount of tight ends that you brought in, but the size of tight ends that you brought in.
Really, if you look at the group, it's very eclectic in terms of their abilities to do different things and their size and their speed, their length, but they're all playmakers in their own right. So we've got a guy from Natter Teacher from, he's 6'8", 270, down to Juice Vereen, who's, 6'4", 220, and everything in between. And, we just think that having the flexibility and the versatility of the tight end position gives us an advantage because they're tough matchups. You have to decide, offensively, how you're going to treat each guy. Is he more receiver threat than blocking threat? Is he more blocker than receiver? Or is he a guy that can do both equally well? And so having guys that fit different molds, we believe, is really an advantage to us. I've always felt that. You know, my background was defense. And when I was a defensive coordinator in the NFL, you know, the tight ends were the guys that gave you the most problems. You could figure out ways to double receivers. Doesn't always mean it was successful, but you could figure out ways. Tight ends, when they're kind of that, where's Waldo? Where are you going to put them in the backfield? Are you going to split them out at number one? Are they going to be in the slot? You know, are they going to motion? Those are the ways that you can create real problems for a defense. So we like having that versatility at tight end.
Is that a position in your mind where you really look? I mean, because again, it just when you see all these names on paper, you talk about Juice and his size and guys being so versatile. Is there a kind of a core position on the offensive side where you say, I want to start here? I mean, obviously, when we're talking football, we're talking quarterbacks. I get that. But is that one of those key positions? Because you talk about coaches' philosophies and where they want to build around. Is that tight end position in your mind just crucial for the things that you want to do?
It is in terms of being versatile and having playmakers, but you always start up front. You know, it doesn't matter how good your skill position players are if you can't block. It doesn't matter how great your quarterback is if you can't protect. And so you always start with the offensive line. But, you know, I think sometimes we categorize players by position. I got a group that I keep on my board, and it's called Playmaker, you know. And we obviously are going to go into every game thinking, how do we get our playmakers the ball? Whether they're listed as a running back, a tight end, or a wide receiver, you know, who are our playmakers, and how do we scheme to get them the ball in space so they can make things happen? Or how do we scheme to get them in a matchup that's favorable to us in terms of size or speed mismatches? So, yeah, tight end's important, but so is wide receiver, running back, quarterback, but it always starts up front.
Coach, can you tell us, you talk about this board of playmakers, can you give us a few of those names that really are kind of dominating that board at this point?
Well, they're all doing a pretty good job, you know, but the guys that kind of stand out to me, you know, LeVon has done a great job. I think Terrence has done a great job, came from UConn. I think Mel Brown, Malachi Greaves has done a nice job. I don't want to miss anybody because there's a bunch of them, you know, and we're still identifying them. So, God, I don't even want to stop there. I could go on forever. I should have just answered that. I should have never given you a name.
We can edit that out, Coach. Don't worry. We can edit it out.
I don't want to cut anyone out because I feel like guys emerge every day. You know,
Yeah. You
see something out of a guy. They're all in a different state of their development. And I think I'll have a much better answer for you about 3 weeks into training camp. I think a lot of development happens during spring that you don't recognize until you come back in the fall. You know, they have a chance to digest and absorb all the lessons that they learned and the practices they went through, and then they come back in the fall, and they're better, you know. And we'll have a bunch of guys emerge in the fall that right now aren't doing a lot, but under the surface they're making great gains.
Coach Jim Mora joining us, head coach for Colorado State. Coach, on the spring football conversation, we've seen a lot of opinions and ideas of maybe moving spring closer to, you know, butting up against fall camp and that kind of thing. What are your thoughts on maybe the future of just how spring football might look?
You know what? I have no idea. So I really don't think about it because it's out of my hands. I mean, I'm allowed at times to give my opinion to the NCAA or to the Pac-12. I'm not sure how much coaches' opinions are valued or considered. I'm really not. I'm not saying they're not. I just don't know how much they are. Right now, my sole focus has to be this moment in time and helping this football team become the best we can be this year. So whatever those in power decide to do with spring and the future of the portal and NIL and revenue share and all those things, you know, my attitude is I'm going to adjust to it the best that I can. If I can have influence and have input, I will. If not, then I'll adjust and make sure that we position CSU football to be as successful as possible.
How much is, you know, obviously you spent so much time in the NFL and then the transitions up back and forth, you know, on the college side too. How much of that has kind of helped you with all these changes? Because I imagine making those jumps from college to NFL to college, you're used to pretty much anything. So when you keep seeing all these new things, it seems like every week or every other day, there's something new going on, especially on the college football side of things. How much has that helped you be able to adjust to the changes?
It's helped a lot. It's made me feel very comfortable in this environment. I know there are certain coaches out there that kind of reject it or struggle with it, express that they don't like it. I feel comfortable in it. You know, this is what in the NFL, the draft process is very much like the college high school or the high school recruiting process. Free agency is very much like the portal. I mean, there are differences. You know, the salary cap is very much like revenue share. You get used to in the NFL having turnover on your team. Maybe not the amount that you have in college, but you still have it. You know, you have to adjust to certain rule changes that the owners and the management council makes each year that you may or may not have input in. If you don't embrace those things, if you fight them, if you let them get in the way of the progress you're trying to make, then you're just doing a disservice to the players that you serve and the university that you work for. And I'm not going to let that happen. I'm just going to go 100 miles an hour every day, do the best we can with the rules that are in place right now. And so I answer your question. I love it. I feel comfortable in it. I love the challenge of it. I love the excitement of it. Maybe I don't love the indecision of it, but I can deal with it.
Yeah, that's the tough part. I don't know how you guys do it with the indecision, you know, just not knowing necessarily what's going to change, what's going to be something that's going to, you know, hit you guys, hit your desk on a random day. You just never know. But again, so much respect for you coaches that are able to do it. Last one for you, Coach. You mentioned some of the people, you know, Scott Sidwell, John Weber, Amy Parsons, some of the people as far as your excitement level to be here at Colorado State. But Coach, what was it ultimately, you know, that really drew you here to Colorado State? I know you had mentioned some of the Pac-12 stuff and, you know, the stadium and the area too, but was there something in particular that was like, as soon as, you know, you get wind of this being an opening, it just hits your brain?
Well, there was many, many things at many different times and many different levels, but the first one was Fort Collins, Colorado. You know, I'm a West Coast guy. I lived in Colorado when I was younger. I've always loved this part of the country. A chance to be back here was really thrilling to me. And then you combine that with what Scott and Amy and John and Chris Ferris and Christina Diaz, you know, sold to me when they came to visit me in Connecticut. The fact that I'm back in the Pac-12. You know, my dad coached in it when it was the Pac-8. I played in it. It was the Pac-10, coached in it. It was the Pac-12, and now it's back as the Pac-12. That was thrilling to me. The chance to be on a campus that has a stadium on site that is beautiful and really the model for a lot of the newer stadiums that are being built around the country, a path to the college football playoff, and then really more than anything is just working with really good people, which, you know, I'm lucky to do every day with Scott and John and President Parsons and everyone around here. It's a different and unique environment. It's a very fulfilling job, and you know, we got some good people. We got some good players that are good people. We've got some great administrators that are good people, and you win with your people. You know, that's how you win. You win with your people, and I'm lucky to be around great people.
Coach, we're looking forward to seeing what you guys can do. I know you'll wrap up spring practices this week, and then we can start the countdown. We can get ready for that first game of the season. I think that's a pretty big one. Pumped about it, Coach. Looking forward to seeing what you can do with this program.
Well, I appreciate that. It was great talking to you.
Hey, let's do it again sometime. Would love to catch up with you down the road.
Anytime.
All right, my friend. Thank you. CSU head football coach Jim Mora. And Mike, we're not that far away from the start. I mean, it goes fast, doesn't it? You know, right now it's April 13th. We're talking about spring football, and it's going to move, and we're going to be ready to watch September 4th, Colorado State or September 5th, excuse me, CSU in Wyoming. Mike, who you got in that game? You got any early predictions for me? Way too early predictions.
CSU.
I would think that's going to be. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from this CSU team. I know I love everything that we've learned about over the last several months about what this idea is going to be surrounding this football team with a mobile quarterback. The tight ends are freaking ginormous. Great write-up in the Coloradoan this morning from Kevin Lytle just about some of the key positions that caught his eyes, some of the guys Coach Moore was talking about. But I love it, too. I'm like asking him, hey, you got a playmaker board. Give me the names on that playmaker board. And he's like, dude, I don't want to give you four or five names because I got a ton of them, and I don't want to leave anybody out.
I'm going to make a prediction here. CSU is going to climb the mountain of the Pac-12.
Is it it's climbing
and now.
Yeah, well, and it's hiking, it's climbing. He's kind of done it all, but I think when I opened, I was like, wait, I think I said hiking, and this guy's like he could do it all, man.
Is he scaling mountains or is he hiking?
I think he's probably doing a little bit of everything. I think he's mainly hiking, but I'm sure he's scaling at some point too.
I'm choppering because I don't want to walk up a mountain.
Yeah, I think he could do a little bit of everything, man. 49 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day coming up. Also, Mark Johnson will switch gears. We'll talk about the Colorado Buffaloes and what Mark thinks of the Buffs on their spring side of things, too. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
You heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.